Chapter 27. Fishing for Solutions.
You know him? Zell heard alarms go off inside his head. They screamed, Syndicate!
Zelgadas planted himself by the practice room door purposefully. With the door ajar, he could listen for a car coming up the drive to the mayor's mansion, while playing guitar, without making it too obvious that he was doing so. There it was, that new car purr. Zell gave Zelos a quick nod and tilted his head toward the door. Zelos dropped his drumsticks and tripped over a cymbal stand, knocking it over with a resounding crash in his rush to the door. Lena, who had been practicing a delicate harmony part with the other girls and Val's piano work, jumped at the noise and shouted, "Damn drums! Keep 'em quiet!"
"Sorry,"
Zelos giggled a little, and continued to hustle toward the door. Gowrie nimbly stepped into his path, blocking a pile of cables strung out on the floor.
"Careful there."
"Oh yeah, thanks," Zelos cast over his shoulder. Zell, seeing his friend's nervous activity, opened the door wide and then stepped aside for Zelos to fly by. Philia laughed, followed by the twitters of the other girls. She had guessed he had to make a run for the laboratory. A minute later, Zelos returned, accompanied by two other voices.
"Huh?"
Lena noted the two newcomers.
Everyone?
Zelos called out, in a voice a bit higher than usual, another sign of his nervousness.
"This is Candy and John. John is, dropping Candy off. He's the guy whose car I totaled. Candy is in the math class with Zelgadas and me."
John chuckled and nudged him. "Not going to mention your girlfriend, Zelos?" Philia whispered. "He made a run to the John, get it?" Sylphiel giggled, making Candy blush, thinking they were talking about her. Zelos, to his credit, clasped Candy's hand with his and smiled. In answer to John, he said,
"That's right, and you've met Zelgadas. Nice to see the little brother again,"
John joked, and shook Zell's hand without blinking an eye. He had been forewarned about his appearance before Zell had driven Zelos and him to buy a car, but he had to brace himself again in order to risk hand-to-hand contact without flinching.
Zell cleared his throat. "Car sounded pretty good coming up the hill."
"Love it. I was wondering if, oh, maybe in a year or two, I could get Zelos to borrow this one and wreck it too, so I could get a new one. Maybe every few years, eh? Think that insurance guy would see through that scam?"
John asked, the levity in his voice assuring everyone that he was only kidding. Zelos finished the introductions, and then John left.
"Want to come sit over by me?"
he asked Candy, leading her shyly to the back of the room where his kit sat. Lena checked her watch. "Guys, the clock in here is slow. I've got a quarter till 5. How about we go over this last song a couple more times with the chorus and then call it a night? Then, instead of practice Friday, we'll meet here and let Rodimus and Zolf pack the stuff and learn how to carry out their new jobs for us at the gig in Syrog. It's a bigger venue than we've done before, but Zolf knows the place, so setup will be straightforward. Zelos, we'll do our number if Joey can make it. Can he, Gowrie?"
Gowrie looked at Zelos and Candy. Zell had told him that Zelos was bringing Candy along to hear them play in Syrog. She didn't need to see her new boyfriend and Lena dirty dance. Gowrie decided. He didn't either. Joey wouldn't know the difference, and nope, he definitely wanted Zelos and Candy to stay together. He had never felt so good about his chances with Lena before. Zelos was giving him an opening. Then he remembered those tickets he'd been given by his mom. Yeah, he was going to ask her out. He'd better talk to Lena about going, before it skipped his mind again. But then, what was that she just asked him? "Gowrie, pay attention! I asked about your brother Joey. Did you forget to ask him about Friday?"
No, he's got soccer practice and a game the next day. His team's made it to the finals, and it'll be a couple of more weeks at least.
Unless they blow it big Saturday against the way too much information, Lena interrupted him, waving her arms. She turned back to Zelos and said, okay, so we won't do that number. That means you'll have to do that other lovey-dovey one with Val and Zell, okay? Zelos smiled. Whatever you say, ma'am. He bowed from the waist, then settled onto his throne. You got that right, she snapped, back with a cocky grin. All right, from the top. As the band played, Candy listened and watched. She recognized most of the kids from the high school. Philia and Sylphiel, the cheerleaders, she knew vaguely from attending her ex-boyfriend, Carol's, games. And Gowrie, who was remarkably tall with that mile-long mane of blonde hair. Wow. Val she didn't know personally, nor Amelia, but like anyone in Saeroon, she knew who she was. Now Lena. Were those sparks flying between Lena and Zelos? She shook off her jealousy as best she could. It really fit her like an out-of-date jacket, and was just as unwanted. What about Amelia? Philia asked, as they packed up guitars and mics. She hasn't been to school all week and missed today's practice. I'll call tonight and see what's up, Lena replied. Her cousin's double dealing in death was quite a blow. In fact, hey, Zell, why don't you give her a call and see if there's something you can do to cheer her up? Oh, no. Don't you give me that why me look, or I'll tell you why. Zell swallowed his objections and simply replied, I'll think about it. So, what's for dinner? Candy asked Zelos as they entered his house. Practice had ended soon, thankfully, after she'd arrived, and now she was a bit nervous about this visit as well. This was not an ordinary high school rock-pop band, and none of them were ordinary high school kids. You can watch from the table while Zelgadis and I perform our culinary magic, Zelos answered. You're not going to tell me? She said in a mock complaining tone of voice. Nope, it's a secret. He giggled and skipped through the front room. This is the front room, 'cause it's in front of the others. She smiled. Val, coming up from behind, grumbled something like, Beware the return of the fruitcake. Candy turned and looked at him curiously. He must really like you. He's acting all goofy. Val said, with a wolfish grin. I thought he was just happy, she said smoothly. You know more about that than me, Val chuckled. I'll be in here. Let me know when it's ready. He stomped through the house to his room and shut the door. I don't think he likes me, Candy whispered to Zelgadis, the last to enter the house and remove his shoes at the door. Who, Val? It's not like that. It was his idea to invite you over. Zell lowered his voice a little, and then said, He's trying to be cool. He's curious about you, and awkward about getting to know you, so he comes off as harsh sometimes. I also think he's a bit jealous of Zelos attracting such a... This is where Zell's brain caught up with his mouth. He blushed and mumbled something like, Nice girl like you. He skittered off to the kitchen, not wanting to have to see her reaction. By this time, Zelos had finished his roving and wrapped her in his arms from behind. Are my roommates giving you a hard time now? 'Cause if they are, I'll have to beat them up. Candy laughed and leaned into him. No, please don't do that. They're just trying to make me feel at home. Everything's okay. I am getting hungry, though. Chips, I'll get you a snack. He released her with the intention of running off again. No, you don't, she said. That felt nice. I don't think I'm going to let you go. She twisted around, rewrapping his arms around herself in the process, and snuggled closer. Well, this isn't going to get dinner on the table, he reminded her. Zelgadis can take care of that all by himself. I'll just snack on you in the meantime. Zelos's eyebrows shot up questioningly, but she didn't wait for him to catch up. She reached around his head and pulled his lips down to meet hers in a heated kiss. In the kitchen, Zell felt the blood rush to his face, and he cursed his excellent hearing. He found his own intimate moments bad enough, but to overhear others' amorous noises was downright embarrassing. What if they brought that into his kitchen? Zelos, I'd rather do this alone tonight, all right? Why don't you give Candy the tour and rest on the couch or something? I'll get this done faster without you. Okay, came the delayed response. 40 minutes later, the three young men and the young woman were digging into Zell's stir-fry with rice. Val got up and served her a drink. Zell offered her seconds. Zelos could hardly eat, he was so excited to have her here and show off to his best friends. By the end of the meal, they were all laughing over some shared joke. Having a girl there improved all their manners. Val was on his best behavior. He could tell this was one quality babe, and didn't want to thwart Zelos' chances at making the relationship last. Zell was surprisingly talkative, even though his favorite subject seemed to be the last math exam. Zelos smiled at that. His friend and brother was really opening up of late. His smile grew smug. He knew he'd been a large part of that change in his friend. But Amelia had no small role as well, he bet. Go on. Hmm? Zelos looked up as he realized Val was addressing him. I said I'd do cleanup tonight while you do that math Zell was talking about, Val said as he cleared the table of the last of the dishes. Okay. Zelos smiled. He watched as Zell and Candy pulled out their notebooks and pencils and hungrily dug into the math meal. Soon, he joined in as well. Val even brought a book of his own over to the table and began to read. A bit later, Zell and Zelos were working on their chemistry, while Candy completed an essay using Zelos' laptop. Val began a history assignment, finished it, and cracked his math book. Zelos was having difficulty focusing any longer. He began to get fidgety and checked his watch. He was way overdue on his meds today. Excuse me. He murmured. Be right back. You all right? Candy called after him. Yes, he called as he disappeared into his room. Done, she announced triumphantly. Another essay over with. Freshman English is a lot of boring essays. Her eyes met Zell's. Is there a printer I can hook up to this to get a copy of my file? Zell nodded. There are three at least. Val and I each have one, and Zelos has at least one in his room. If you'd like, I could. He was about to offer to print it out for her when he felt Val's foot pressing into his. Chill out, Val's mental telepathy signaled him. No, Candy said, the weight of her hand on his arm stopping his motion. But thanks, though. I'll go find Zelos's. Oh, and if I don't see you till morning... Thanks for the great dinner, Zelgadis. Nice meeting you too, Val. Night, guys. And with that, she made a neat stack of her papers, picked up the laptop, and left in search of Zelgadis. Finding the one closed bedroom door, she knocked on it, opened it, stepped in, and shut it behind her.
I think I'll take a walk, Zell muttered.
He stopped mid-stride with Val's rugged hand on his shoulder. Everyone seemed to be unafraid to push him around these days. Maybe he was becoming too nice.
It's raining like hell out there. Val leveled his golden eyes at Zell's hooded blue ones. You can't run away from this. Might as well just put on some music and get used to it. Your bud's got a girl and you've been demoted to that spot number two.
Zell sighed and nodded.
Hey, I like her too, if it makes you feel any better.
Val smiled an almost tender, understanding smile.
He's a lucky dude.
Zell nodded.
So, when he's ready to ditch her, how about we share her, huh?
Val asked. Zell flushed at his crude attempt at humor.
Zell, I didn't mean it that way. Man, your head is in the sewer lately. Drawing pictures of girls hanging out of their blouses, and now lusting after your bud's chick?
Val began to chuckle at Zell's flustered response. Val saved him in the end. Hey, we got our homework all done. Now we ought to go out and celebrate. I say pool. I'm feeling lucky tonight. Val tipped his head toward the bedrooms. Not as lucky as him. Heh heh. Zell punched Val on the arm. Let's go, then. Ah, and better leave a note. Val laughed. Like you'll notice we're gone. He did leave a note, though. It was a subdued brunch gathered at the breakfast table the next morning. Val left first, chewing on a piece of toast. I'll get the car warmed up, Zell croaked. You almost ready? Candy nodded, sipping her coffee and combing a length of wayward hair behind her ear. One more eye to get open, then I'm there. Oops, the other's closed. Damn, gotta start all over. Ah, was that you, Zelos? You creep! Keep your icy cold fingers to yourself. He leaned over and purred in a low, velvety voice. That's not what you said last night. You! She slapped him playfully and laughed. You're embarrassing Zell, and he's been so good making us dinner and sharing his space and driving us to school. Turning in Zell's direction as he was making toward the door, she said, You're a peach. Zelos rolled his eyes and grabbed both his and Candy's bags. I always wondered what that meant. Zelgaris, does that mean you're fuzzy and sweet? I mean, he's definitely neither of those. Nor is he a fruit. Don't suggest that. Or might you be implying that he's good enough to eat? If so, I take offense at that, since you are dating me and should not be eating my little brother. He followed her out the door, both of them giggling. Nor should you be tasting him, darling. Or testing if he's ripe. Or, hey! Okay, that's enough. I mean it, she said with a pinch to his waist. No more joking or teasing in the car, okay? Show him some respect. Zelos fell silent and climbed into the narrow back seat of the shiny sports car, and there closed his eyes. Later, after their classes at the university were over, and they were on the road to the high school, Zell sighed a sigh of relief. How about that? Zell commented to his subdued friend. No chemistry labs until after the winter break. Another evening free to go shopping, Zelos supplied. No. Yes. Really? Zell asked for verification. Yes. Any particular place? Yes. Care to impart the destination to me? Not now. Later. Zelos rubbed his eyes gently and looked out the window. Everything all right? Kinda. Zelos smiled slightly. I introduced her to one of the other Zeloses last night. Oh. She walked in on me with a bottle of meds in my hand, and my eyes were dilated, hands shaking. He chuckled. So I told her about the ADD thing. I'd already had to explain some of the abuse stuff. You know, the scars and all. Now this. And how did she take it? She seemed friendly this morning. Zell said. Yeah, well, I'm not sure. She's not stupid. She knows it's hereditary and probably doesn't want to produce children prone to failure or flying off the walls. It's one thing to date a nutcase, another to seriously consider a steady relationship with one. With me. Did she actually say all that? Kinda. Not the actual words, but I could tell she was disappointed. The scars aren't nice, but they're not an incurable disease, like... It'll work out, Zell assured him, and parked in the high school parking lot. Give her some time to think about it. Zellos shrugged. Neither one of you was sleeping on the couch this morning, so it can't be as bad as you're making it out to be, Zell said. Zellos's turn to choke back a gasp. I can't believe you just said that. There were parts of Ceyrun that good kids normally did not stray to. One of these parts was Val's old neighborhood. Another was Chinatown. Besides a few good restaurants, there was little but filth there to interest people. as it lacked the charm, expanse, and population of other cities' incarnations. Knowing this, it is understandable that Zell was surprised when Zellos pulled up into a parking space by the curb in the heart of the broken-down neighborhood. Heart. If this was the heart, it would take double bypass surgery to even attempt to fix it. What are we doing here? Zell wondered. Going shopping, Zellos replied. It would have been infuriating, but Zell had been prepared for it from the moment the words left his lips. It was just too perfect a setup for Zellos to resist, he knew. He wondered if Zellos would ever find a new joke for his repertoire. All right. Zell threw up his hands, as if dropping responsibility like a hot potato into Zellos' lap. Your turn. Lead on. Oh, we're not going far. Zellos grinned. Right here. Zell had to admit the building before them was a mite less dingy than the neighboring ones. There was a faded, unreadable sign outside, hung from the eaves, but all of the windows were intact, at least. They were dark, as if they had been painted black from the inside. Zellos knocked on the door. It was like the door to a private house, rather than a commercial building, and Zell followed him cautiously, ears prickling for danger, into the gloom. "May I help you, young sirs?" Zell jumped. For once, his elven ears had failed him. He hadn't known the man was there until he spoke. He turned toward the voice to see the speaker. It was a man, perhaps. The voice sounded male, albeit not very deep or very fluent, though he could not place the accent. Asian, naturally, but from where was a mystery? The possessor of the voice was a mystery as well. He was tall, thin, elegant, and statuesque in a long Chinese-style silk brocade gown. The mandarin collar encircled a long, pale neck, and the intricate embroidery on the garment ran the pillow-like length of his straight body. His hair was dark, shiny, straight, and cut crisply at his jawline, Zello-style almost, but with a center part and no bangs, curling slightly like his darkly colored lips. Contrasting with his deathly pale skin, it was quite striking. And, after Zelly and Subaru, Zeld thought he'd seen it all. "We're interested in purchasing a pet," Zellos piped up, pleasantly, as if he did business with this Madam Butterfly poser on a regular basis. The man chuckled, but not without a certain air of creepiness. "Why, of course you are. Why else would one peruse a pet shop?" Zell coughed. "This is a pet shop?" Usually the first thing one notices about pet shops is the unique smell of hundreds of different animals' stinks blending into a complex, pungent odor, found elsewhere only in zoos. Here, all Zell could pick up was a heavy, cloying scent of incense. As his eyes got used to the dimness, he could only make out the painted screens, carved doorways, luxurious curtains, hanging lanterns, and low, polished rosewood couches. It looked like a courtesan's parlor, or an opium den, or a place for movie Chinatown mafia to conduct their business. By no stretch of the imagination, and costuming Val in fantasy garb was testing its elasticity. Was this a pet shop? "Welcome to Count D's pet shop," the man smiled graciously, which made him look quite like the spider inviting the flies over for tea. It didn't help that his silky black hair permanently covered one eye, a screen before the emperor, or a mask. "I am Count D. My grandfather is the proprietor. I am in charge while he is away. How did a young man such as yourself chance to hear about this humble establishment?" He was talking to Zellos now, who seemed to have all the answers. This was unnerving. Whatever this was a front for, Zell did not want to know. But so long as Zellos was playing along, he wasn't sure what to do. And Zell didn't like to be at a disadvantage. True, this wasn't quite a bookcase crushing his sternum, but it screamed danger in a whole nother way,
Your grandfather supplied my mother with a population of wolves for some family property, Zelos explained, easing into this eerie, anachronistic speech. Recognition flashed over the Count's fey features. Ah, yes, the special interest group. Good customers. Are you looking for something specific?
Well, actually, I hoped you could help me. You see, I'm looking for something for a friend.
So, Zelos was going to follow through with what he'd said after the last unpleasant visit with Subaru. What a surprise.
A friend? The man asked.
Yes. He is very lonely, but he loves animals. I was hoping we could find something for him. I know he had a dog once, but he has limited space. What would you suggest?
Tell me more about this friend and his needs, the man asked sinuously. Come, sit here. Will you join me in some tea? I have quite a sweet tooth.
Seriously? Zell resigned himself. This was going to be an interesting afternoon.
They were seated on expensive couches, the cushions patterned with cranes and chrysanthemums. On one side of a delicately carved coffee table, the strange man positioned himself on the seat opposite. A nice tea was already spread out for them, as if he had known they were coming. Or else he really had a sweet tooth. There were enough tarts, biscuits, anpan, truffles, and petit fours to fully furnish Alice's mad tea party. With practiced expertise, the Count poured them cups of perfumed amber liquid from an elongated white china teapot. His hands were long and white, nails over an inch in length and manicured to a pristine state. With those polished talons, he plucked a sweet from the silver tiered stand in front of him. Zell couldn't see nails like that being useful for much else. Zelos delicately helped himself to a raspberry cheesecake square. Then they got down to business.
About your friend?
He's still a teenager, though it's hard to think of him as such. He had to grow up fast, Zell explained. He works for the shrine.
A priest? The man asked.
Yes, but he lost family recently, and he's not doing very well.
By not doing very well, he means mostly catatonic, Zell added, and finally took a sip of the tea.
Jasmine. Fine jasmine. With all the incense in the air, it had been hard to discern exactly what the scent was. But now he could pick it up quite distinctly.
Very nice. Zell approved.
He is a very sensitive, kind-hearted person. He politely drained his cup.
Mild or passionate? The Count asked, lounging luxuriously among the rich embroidery, like a black panther in the multifarious jungle.
Zelos found that he could not answer.
But Zell could.
A bit of both, but he hides his emotions obsessively.
For good reason?
For any reason, Zell said dryly. They are all good to his mind.
Good to his mind? What century was this? Zell was playing along too.
Ah, well, the tea was good. With care and precision, he poured himself another cup.
The Count's eyes were trained on the sweep of his sweatshirt-covered arm, the tilt of the teapot, the stream of dark orange.
So, you are looking for a pet to replace the loved ones he's lost?
Well, Zelos did not like that. It left a bad taste in his mouth, like good intentions gone foul.
I just want something to make him less lonely.
Oh, I understand, the Count assured him. I did not mean to offend. I was simply, how do you say it in Saverun?
Yes, calling it like I see it. Certainly I would not belittle your good deed. You say he had a dog before?
A very beloved one. A Malamute, I think. Or a Husky.
Where did Zelos pick up that information?
But he's living in a limited space right now. There's no room for a dog. Zell had to be the voice of reason. He decided to try a ginger snap. I see. Besides, a new dog may make his loneliness worse. It would remind him of his departed friend, if he is as sensitive as you say. Zelos nodded, somber, newly educated. If you please, may I make a few suggestions?
That's why I came to you.
Zelos smiled. And I thought it was the desserts. The Count laughed. Zelos joined him. Zell couldn't help but think they looked like two peas in a silk brocade pod. If he has limited space, a cat would be bored, Dee mused. And besides, a cat is independent. One could not be satisfied with a life lived to comfort another. Zelos nodded. Zell wondered where the animals were in this shop. There must have been many back rooms, or else this front was smaller than it seemed. It was so dark outside the pool of light they were sitting in, he couldn't tell much. But he could hear things, little noises, now that he was adjusting to the oddity of the space. He could just imagine a singing, man-eating plant in the back room. I'm going to advocate the selection of a smaller pet. There are many kinds of bird that would make good companions. Perhaps a parrot capable of speech, or a gentle dove, a clever crow.
We have birds at the shrine. Zelos shook his head. He already takes care of them.
Ah, yes, I had forgotten. Forgive me, I have been working too hard. I have not been outside my shop for pleasure in a long while. He chuckled. And I suppose he may be opposed to keeping a flying creature grounded and caged. Let's see. Rabbits, guinea pigs, rodents, all would be very appropriate. They can form bonds with their humans, and some, such as rats, are very friendly.
Rats? Zelos wrinkled his nose. Vermin?
You do not approve? The Count frowned jokingly.
Rats are great pets, Zell piped up, remembering. Back in elementary school? And rabbits are ferocious, Zelos insisted.
They can be. The man smiled and shared a knowing look with Zell, as if they were both putting up with a friend's silly eccentricities. Zell broke down and took a petty four.
And mice smell terrible. They're as dirty as rats. And hamsters. Don't get me started on hamsters.
Zelos was getting all worked up for a fight against the little horrors.
We'll try to avoid it at all costs.
Zell yawned. Any animal can become unfriendly if it is not treated right. Have you considered a plant? We have several varieties of carnivorous plants that have a lot of personality.
Grinned the Count.
Zell saved himself from embarrassment by nearly choking, rather than spitting out his mouthful.
He doesn't have any windows, melancholy gloom and all,
Zelos explained. Zell thought he caught him humming a bit of Suddenly Seymour, but it could have been his imagination filling in missing notes. All right, reptiles are very high maintenance, though they are charming. If he is busy with priestly duties, he should not be preoccupied with misting a lizard.
I can't quite see Subaru with geckos.
Zelos smiled.
Subaru?
Dee raised a thin eyebrow. Subaru Sumeragi?
You know him?
Zell heard alarms go off inside his head, and they screamed, Syndicate! I have heard of his tragedy, yes. Loneliness. Yes, that would be his malady. Sakura flowers bloom only for a few days a year. Fleeting beauty. He has only had fleeting happiness. What he needs is something permanent. Something that will not leave him. Something eternal.
Yes, Zelos lapped it up.
Zell helped himself to another cup of tea. I have just the thing. Follow me. He smiled and stood, beckoning them after him. There were many back rooms and dim hallways. The place was huge, and all richly decorated with oriental carpets,
inlaid ceilings, and ornaments in half-hidden nooks. The lighting was low, golden, mysterious. Frankly, Zell still didn't believe this place, which seemed quite down the rabbit hole. But as he caught sight of brilliant birds fluttering ineffectively in wire cages, light flashing on keen eyes, and flashes of movement in the shadows, he could at least believe there were animals here. There seemed to be no other humans, though. Did this effete, refined young man really take care of all these shadow-dwelling animals with fingernails like that? Here we are. He opened a rice paper screen door and gestured for them to enter. The wall was glowing, blue. Of course, the wall was lined with fish tanks. These tanks made a low, white, buzzy hum that Zell tried to ignore, and they burbled and gurgled liquidly. Hundreds, maybe thousands of fish started at their entrance, like a flash. Angelfish, goldfish, neons, black mollies, gourami, betas. There were at least 50 Zell couldn't identify. It was quite impressive. A fish? Zellos wondered. Yes, but a very special fish. The Count smiled. A fish that has been known to outlive dynasties. It represents prosperity, as well as eternity, long life. In Japanese, its name is the same as the word for love, though not so much is made of that coincidence, other than some lovely puns, if one is partial to tricks of language. Right here, now, young sirs, we keep them in a safe place. Zellos followed him back behind the wall of tanks. Meanwhile, Zell was enlightened. It was really quite beautiful, especially with the tasseled lamps casting double shadows on the floor. He felt like he was deep in the sea, down where the light barely reaches and things are wondrous and strange, immersed in blue, surrounded by fish as bright as sparks of fireworks. Zell Goddess, Earth to Zell Goddess! Look! Zell excitedly harangued his brother. When Zelgadas shook himself out of his self-imposed stupor, he was able to see Zelos's catch. Two fish in a large plastic bag, one white and one black, both shimmering, living iridescence. And look, the white one, he pointed, has a little black spot, and the black one has a white spot, like yin and yang. A yin-yang symbol means harmony, balance between opposing forces of the universe. I think that the young Sumeragi head might appreciate a bit more harmony in his heart. He must be very torn right now. What? Zell raised an eyebrow. Do you mean by that? But the Count just smiled. Now, since these are such an expensive fish, it is customary for us to fill out a contract.
And we have to get the fishbowl paraphernalia, Zellos piped up.
While Zellos and the Count picked out a proper bowl and filter system to house the pet, Zelgadas fingered the plastic bag, examining the sparkling fish within.
Maybe I should get Amelia a fish, to cheer her up, he muttered to himself.
Amelia? Miss Seyrun? Oh no, not Koi. Not at this time. Fish in the carp family also represent fertility.
Zell blushed.
Let us consider your dilemma a while, if you would. Then, when you return, we'll make a selection. Choosing the wrong pet pleases no one, and they know it, causing the poor things to languish and die.
Who, the owner or the pet?
Zellos asked, as he picked up a couple more tea cakes. Either, both. Eventually. Count D smiled secretly, then said to Zellos, you have quite a sweet tooth also. Zelgadas nodded and said, because Zellos's mouth was stuffed too full to talk for himself,
yes, he does.
Count D slid his visible eye sideways to gaze upon Zell a moment. You prefer savories.
Zellos swallowed and chuckled. And here I thought you were more of an unsavory character, little brother.
Amelia joined her band Friday afternoon for the job because it was the right thing to do. Although her subdued manner betrayed her lack of enthusiasm. Her heart wasn't in it. But she would do her very best. She sat by Lena in the van. "We'll skip your solo. No big deal. We've got plenty of material. Val told me he and Zell have worked up another Zello's tearjerker number if we need something on short notice. So don't go pushing yourself, okay?" Lena asked. "Thank you, Miss Lena," Amelia smiled. "I'll be better, but right now, I feel like a little bit of my heart is missing. It hurts right here." She pressed a hand to her chest. "And I'm so tired all the time."
"Stress'll do that to you," Lena commiserated.
Zelgaris was seated beside Gowri, wondering why Amelia was avoiding him. She had not, in fact, said more than a word to him since their date, and absolutely nothing since Alfred's death. Now, rejection was something he was intimately familiar with, but not from Amelia. Definitely not Amelia. He hadn't thought he'd disappointed her on her birthday date. His ego was strong enough to assure him of that. So the problem must lie with Alfred. Alfred. So he was right all along. Amelia really liked Alfred and not him, for himself. The trouble was, Zelgaris was now sufficiently aware of girls and their charms that he couldn't just forget the little progress he and Amelia had made. He wanted to try another date, but she wouldn't return his calls or even his glances. He needed help. He hated that. He hated the fact that he felt he needed to see Amelia. He hated the fact that he needed anyone to be happy. Even more, he hated discussing his personal problems. But he was strangely driven in a way he did not wish to dwell upon to get things back the way they were, or at least the way they were starting to go. Gowri?
Huh?
You talked to Amelia since, the other week?
Amelia? No, she's been kinda depressed, Lena said. Haven't you?
No, Zell sighed. I've tried, but she won't even look me in the eye anymore. I guess I must remind her of him.
That could be it, Gowri agreed. But I think she's just sad. It was pretty sudden, the whole thing.
Zell nodded. Right. Sudden. Right. But this wasn't getting him anywhere. With Rodimus driving, the Slayers were free to talk or sleep. Zulf was driving a new van carrying all their equipment. He had left earlier to lay cables and set up. This was the first time that the Slayers would simply show up to a concert and play. It felt luxurious.
Thanks. Excuse me, Zell muttered.
He waited until the van stopped at a red light, then moved back to where Val was stretched out along the back seat, snoozing.
Val? So, do you usually have to make the first move? I mean, say a girl was interested, then cooled off, then do you... should I... Does she expect me to do something?
Val opened his golden eyes and blinked.
You're asking me for advice about you and the little princess? Shit, Zell. She's been waiting for you to do something for so long. If you do, you might kill her.
Yeah, for God's sakes, do something. Just leave me to sleep. That was more like it. Zell slipped back into the seat beside Gowri. The van stopped at an intersection, so Zell used the brake to quickly move to the bench with Lena and Amelia. He tapped on Lena's arm.
Gah! She shouted.
Zell, what are you doing creeping up on me like that? Go back to your seat. The van's moving again.
Let me sit here.
Huh? I'm sitting here.
Trade seats.
With whom? Zell looked back. Sylphiel had slid in beside Gowri, leaving her seat beside Philia open. Zelos was seated up front, messing with the CD player.
Philia, he suggested.
Why should I? I'm comfortable here. Philia blocks out the view. Lena hunkered down, unwilling to move.
What if I got Zelos to move? Would you go up front? You could put on that new CD you've been telling us about.
Yeah, Lena smiled. I might.
Fine, give me a second to move Zelos.
Zell crawled between the seats, hanging onto an arm as the van took a corner.
Hey, how about you moving to another seat? Zell said to his friend.
Zelos cocked his head downwards.
Why? I like it here.
Zell sighed. I want to change seats, and Lena would like to sit here.
Zelos twisted around and studied the problem.
Sit with Philia.
I don't want to sit with Philia. I want Lena to move.
You want to sit with Amelia, but Lena won't move unless she gets my seat?
I see. So you would like me to give up my front seat to go sit next to the dragon girl so you can sit by...
Zell cut off Zelos' speech.
Yes, he hissed. So move.
Zelos smiled slyly. I shall have to exact a price.
What?
Zell bit off the word. Zelos leaned over and whispered into his ear, then straightened.
Zell glared at him a moment.
All right.
Zelos grinned, then unfolded his legs. He waited, poised at the ready, until the van braked, then squeezed past Zell and took the open seat by Philia.
Hi. You? Why you?
A favor to Zelgaris. He wants a little private time with Amelia, Zelos whispered to her.
Philia's eyes softened, and she cast a quick look over her shoulder at Zell, steadying Lena as the van began to move again.
Okay, for Zell. Just shut up.
Zelos crimped up his nose and stuck out his tongue, but said nothing.
You're so immature,
bitch, he said under his breath.
What did you call me?
Her voice rose to a near shriek.
For God's sakes, you guys, stifle it!
Lena yelled, punching Zelos hard in the arm as she scooted past.
We're in a car, you know.
Ow, he moaned, rubbing his sore arm.
That really hurts. I wasn't even talking.
Lena settled into her new seat.
Yeah, she grinned. I know, but you are now.
I don't think I'll be able to play drums now. He moaned and sunk down in his seat, clutching his arm pathetically.
Philia arched her eyebrow.
Poor baby.
His form didn't move, though.
Zelly, you're not really hurt. You're just kidding around, right?
Philia asked with growing concern.
He shook his head.
I don't know. I can't move my fingers. Is that bad, Philly?
Philia turned all her attention to Zelos.
Bad? Yes, it might be broken. Lena, you may have broken Zelly's arm.
Lena was immersed in her pile of CDs and ignored them all.
Here, sit up and let me have a look. I have some of that salve in my bag. If it's just muscular, it'll help.
Philia nudged Zelos to raise his head.
Let me have a look.
I don't know.
He whined. It hurts. Don't touch it.
I have to touch it. Take off your coat. Here, let me help. Now where? Can you bend at the elbow so we can take off that shirt?
Only this arm, she punctuated her demand with a slap.
Ouch, Philia, Zelos winced.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. It's just so natural somehow for me to want to hit you. Now, bend slowly. Well, if you have that much mobility, I don't think it's broken. I don't see any bruising along these muscles.
It's tingly, he said in a small voice.
Pinched nerve, Philia said with conviction.
She rubbed over his upper arm, following the lines of each muscle, checking for abnormalities.
You have been working out again. You told me the other day you hadn't been to the dojo lately.
She began to warm a little of the ointment in her hands, then rubbed it gently, but firmly, into his skin.
That's right, he sighed and leaned back. That sure felt good. I stopped by yesterday and worked out with a few guys. It was slow. I let one guy inside and blocked a kick to my head with my arm. I should have hopped out of range.
You should have taken it on the head,
Phileas quipped. The arm's more important. Thanks, he chuckled. Wow, that feels better already. How long will it last? If you stay out of Lena's way, the one treatment should be enough, Phileas said as she put away the jar of salve. But if you start to stiffen up, especially after the break tonight, then let me know and I'll treat it again. She met his eyes. What's with the dopey look?
Nothing.
He looked away as he slid his arm back into the sleeve, moving stiffly, but without flinching. Phileas didn't buy that. She watched him until his eyes looked in askance and she trapped him. How's she getting there tonight? He jerked upright in his seat.
Who? Oh, Candy? Nuriko and John are driving both Candy and Naga to the concert.
Zelos closed his eyes and leaned his head back on the seat. I figured that's who you were talking about.
Really? Well, you thought wrong. I wasn't thinking about anyone. Not a girl, anyway.
Impossible. And why Naga? Phileas asked.
That's a secret.
Zelos winked, and then quickly added, she lived in Syrog a year, so maybe she has friends to visit.
Maybe she wants to be a supportive big sister for a change?
So, you gonna marry her? And no, I don't mean Naga.
Zelos just stared a moment. I don't know. We've hardly dated more than a few weeks, Phileas. But I know one thing I like about being with her. She never hurts or insults me. She always makes me feel, well, special.
Humph, Phileas sniffed. She doesn't know you, either. She just gets off on your looks or the rock band thing.
No, that's not true. That's yourself you are confusing her with.
Hardly, but at least I know you and what you are. She just thinks you're some nice, intelligent drummer boy to replace her last boyfriend with.
Zelos's mouth drew into a line. His eyes hardened into purple slits. That's bullshit. You don't know anything about her. Or us.
I know she saw Carol over Thanksgiving break when we were off recording. He's at some college in Atlas City, I think, and went back home for the weekend and saw her. They went out to a movie because some friends of mine saw them.
Zelos stopped breathing. I don't believe that. But even if it was true, so what? They were once neighbors, big deal. I knew that. I wasn't around, and maybe he was. So what? She trusts me when I'm gone lots, and I trust her too.
Fine, then. I was just being a friend and letting you know. That's all. You don't have to get all huffy about it.
Phileas turned her back to him and stared at the window. She hated it when he made her feel it so insignificant.
Zelos crossed his arms over his chest and closed his eyes again. He hated it when she toyed with his insecurities.
Meanwhile, Zell had settled into his hard-bought seat beside Amelia.
Hi, he said, staring at her face, anticipating a pleasant response. He had gone to a lot of trouble to sit by her. She'd notice and appreciate that, certainly.
Oh, hi, Zell Goddess, she said listlessly. I didn't know you were sitting there.
I traded with Lena. He hesitated, waiting for her to start a topic of conversation. Things weren't moving along as smoothly as he'd expected. She didn't say a thing to him. He guessed it would be up to him, then, to start the conversation.
Do you have a lot of homework to catch up with the work you missed last week?
Gods, that was stupid. Who cares about that? He started to get sweaty palms.
Some, not much, Amelia sighed.
Well, what now? What was she expecting him to say now? Or do?
Zell rubbed his hands on his pants. This was stupid. Why was he so nervous?
Amelia closed her eyes. The last couple of weeks had been a tumultuous turn of emotional trials. The excitement of recording their first CD, being mobbed and chased by fans, her first date out alone with Zell Goddess under the stars, clouds, and the nice new feelings. Then the horror of returning home,
thinking her father was dying, having to face those reporters, then those awful syndicate people. They ripped her father away from her, then threatened her friends and herself. Then they killed... Zelgadis struggled. He watched her face, her eyes closed. What now? Why couldn't he read her? Does she expect me to go away? No, she didn't say that. She didn't say much at all. Maybe she wants me to do something. Does she expect me to kiss her? Here in the van? Now? Not now. Not here. Well, maybe so. He moved closer so that their shoulders touched. He could feel the heat of her body, and the faint scent of her perfume was light and sweet, distracting. His heart was thumping so hard in his chest, he was certain that she could hear it. He sure could. His hands were trembling now, he noticed, as he raised a finger to brush away a few black hairs clinging to her lips. Gods, was he going crazy? Right that minute, all he could think about were those lips, slightly parted, waiting. No, now what? No, were those tears? Was he making her cry? Without thinking, he brushed away the tear threatening to escape her lashes and trickle down her cheek. He bent forward, bringing his lips nearly in contact with hers when... Alfred. The name passed her lips, and her eyes opened. Zelgadis lurched back as if poisoned. Alfred? Alfred? Zelgadis, what? Amelia straightened. He was still close, with a hand retreating from her shoulder. He looked so sad. It broke her already breaking heart. Zelgadis must have understood her grief, and he had come to comfort her, she decided. Oh, Zelgadis! She cried. But he was backing away, a mass of confusion. Had she been thinking about Alfred? Had she opened her eyes and thought he was Alfred for an instant? Zelgadis felt a pain shoot across his chest, and a flash of ice. Then heat spread through his body. Panic. Anguish. He had only moved an inch before his empty arms were suddenly filled with warm, shaking girl. Oh, Zelgadis! A shaking, damp girl. Oh, I knew you'd understand! How awful! Damp tears now pouring from her eyes into his shirt. It's been for me. I haven't been able to even say his name until now. Lucky him. Zell slowly enclosed her with his arms, his stiff posture freeing up, softening as her grief flowed from her heart, melting his own. She hadn't wanted his caresses, but his caring. She just wanted to cry, not kiss. This wasn't his best skill, but he couldn't just up and leave her now. Losing a cousin to the syndicate? To fall from justice? Maybe he's better off being dead. She erupted into another round of tears, drenching Zell in a salt wash. You were close, weren't you? He asked in a low, soft voice, the gentlest tone he could muster.
Yes, I had dreamed of marrying him.
Zell's heart skipped a beat for sure, as another frigid lance pierced it.
When I was 10 or so, maybe younger, because we'd play house together sometimes. He was really like a big brother. I'm going to miss him so much.
Her voice trailed off as she buried her face in Zell's hard shoulder.
I'm so lucky to have you.
Me? He croaked. He was trying to understand her halting speech, but wasn't sure if she was thinking of him as a brother or a boyfriend. Like a brother?
Yes, he was like a brother all grown up and going to boarding school far away. I realized how different my feelings were for him when I met you. Oh, not at first. I thought you were a bit creepy, but I'm not talking about how you looked, either. I meant the way you acted. But before long, I could tell that there was a really nice person ready to burst out of that shell.
He started to say, but halted. He was so confused. So many different feelings and thoughts were colliding in his head. In the end, he decided that he'd just been complimented.
See? just talking with you here, and I feel so much better,
she assured him. You do?
Uh-huh. Now, are you comfy? I'm comfy, all snuggly and warm and safe.
Zelgadis thought about that. She was nice and soft, but a bit heavy, and his shirt had this growing wet spot on the front. Then he imagined how they must look to the others. Great. He flushed beet red. What could he do?
Maybe we could, you know.
He tried to readjust her weight on his leg, which was falling asleep. He thought that she might sit in her own seat and let him put a bit of distance between them. Unfortunately, that wasn't the message she was getting. She thought he was groping her in front of her friends. Her eyes went wide and she shoved him away.
Zelgadis, I don't know what... I mean, I don't think I'm ready for...
They both untangled themselves and, blushing feverishly, exchanged fervent sorries. Gods, what had just happened? Zelgadis looked around, desperate for some way out of this mess, and caught Zelos's eye and Gowrie's. He was not alone. Zelos looked about as happy as a wet cat, and Gowrie, he looked like the something that poor wet cat dragged in. Gowrie had just watched Zell get out of his seat and disappear into the back of the van, out of sight. He found that if he slunk low in his seat, he could stretch out his legs under the seat in front of him and be fairly comfortable. He was nearly asleep when a shy giggle to the left and above roused his awareness.
Silphio? He drawled.
Uh-huh.
She smiled down at him. He slowly pushed himself back into an upright position and looked around for Zell. Zell was chatting up Lena. No, he was crawling up to the front of the van. Why wasn't Zell sitting beside him? Why was Silphiel?
What you doing?
He asked, dropping the here because he thought that sounded too rude.
Well, I noticed that this seat was empty and Philia wanted the window seat, so she and I traded places. Then I got this one. Pretty smart, huh? Anyway, I've been so busy, you know, like, lately, that I haven't had a chance to hear all the juicy details about the thingy at the mayor's. Amelia's really bent out of shape. I mean, who wouldn't, you know? Was Alfred really cute, like she'd said? That must have been really awful. I mean, it's easier if the bad guys are ugly, I think. Don't you?
Silphiel stopped to take a breath.
I guess so. Bad is bad. It don't really matter what they look like, though. Except...
Gowrie paused to breathe.
Except what?
Alfred looked like Zell if Zell had never been in that accident. Same size and everything.
The same incredibly beautiful blue eyes?
Hers grew to nearly impossible size.
No. Gray-like, I think. I don't remember. Black hair, though. Zell's used to be dark brown, I think. Or maybe that was that girl who used to sit in front of me.
Gowrie scratched his head, which caused his arm to rub against something in his jacket pocket.
I wonder...
He mumbled and pulled a couple of tickets out of the pocket.
Oh, what are those for? The TM Revolution concert?
She dropped her voice to a whisper.
Oh, I'd love to go with you. Yes, yes. Is that for tomorrow night? I think I have a football game, but doesn't matter. I'll go. Yes, this'll be so terrific. I just bought this new sweater.
Gowrie's face fell. He had been planning to ask Lena. Lena would have loved to go, he knew. But now, what could he say? Could he tell Silphiel that the tickets weren't meant for her? That he was wanting to take Lena? She sure was acting like she wanted to go. She would be hurt if he told her that it was a mistake on her part. And he hadn't asked Lena yet. Maybe she couldn't go after all. Well, it was too late to change things now. He'd have to show Silphiel a good time. Gowrie ran a hand through his hair, brushing the thick fringe of bangs out of his eyes. His eyes caught a glimpse of Zelos putting his shirt back on. What was up with him? He and Philia didn't look to be getting along too badly.
Oh, said that too soon. Poor Zelos.
Gowrie looked over Silphiel's head over towards Zell and Amelia.
Whoa, Zell sure had his hands full over there. Amelia needed a shoulder to cry on. Zell's not too good at that, but guess he's got stuck.
Gowrie linked eyes and minds with Zelgadas a moment.
A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do, he told him.
Zell sighed.
Oh, joy.
They arrived in Syrog, driving the main road that wound around the crater that had once been old Syrog. Silphiel grew quiet, pensive, even, and clung to Gowrie's sleeve.
Something wrong?
He asked her. She nodded. I haven't been back for a long time. To his confused expression, she continued to explain further. This is where both my mother and father died, when the Red Priest destroyed the city's shrine.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. I'm sorry. Do you remember much?
Gowrie asked kindly. Not much, thankfully. Oh, look, Gowrie, it's the concert hall. Look at all the people lined up. Lena, do you see it? Look at all the people, Silphiel squealed. A sea of humanity flowed around and around the hall, boys and girls. They were waiting to get in and see and hear the newest rising stars, the Slayers, come to town. Rodimus swore under his breath and pulled out his cell phone.
Zulf, we might have a problem here.